Today, I'm following what I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to talk about, and it involves our hearts. The heart is an integral part of being born again. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What really does that mean? I was born again in a denominational church. And they said, not perish means you're not going to go to hell. And everlasting life means you'll live forever. Is that really what it means? The Bible is the best interpreter of the Bible. Let's go to John 17 and look at what it says that everlasting life actually is. John 17 and verse 3. Way ahead of it. All right, it says here, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is what eternal life actually is. That word know, throughout the Bible, it means intimacy. And whenever a man would know a woman, then she would be with child as a result of it. That intimacy there is what he's actually talking about, that we will have with the Father through the Son. And of course, our God is one God, but he manifested himself in three ways, three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all three of them agree, but they have different functions today with us. But Jesus is the key. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, became a man and entered this earth realm through the Holy Spirit impregnating a woman. And he grew up just like each one of us, from a baby. And he lived his life as a normal child. He was exposed to everything that we are exposed to today. And yet, he was sinless. He never sinned. Even though the same environment that everyone else has grown up in on this world was influenced by the devil and demons. They were cast out of heaven. And I didn't realize this when I was first born again. To be honest with you, I thought that everything was going to be okay, that everything would be, you know, roses. There wouldn't be any trouble once I was born again. And I didn't realize that I was hated because of Jesus. You know, John 10:10 is the measure of what things are actually about. He says that the thief comes for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, talking about Jesus, I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. And we have been given this abundant life. It is ours. But it's not something that we can say, the devil's not going to do anything to me. There won't be any trouble in my life. Why do you think the Lord said, fight the good fight of faith through his apostles? because the faith that we have received said every man has been given the measure of faith. It's Jesus' faith that we've received to receive Him with. We believe in Christ because He gave us the faith to believe in Him. And He gave us His grace. His grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. He's given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in Christ Jesus. He's given us everything, even the ability to receive it by faith. He's given us that ability to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, our natural tendency is to operate out of our head, carnal knowledge, and education, and some of it's going to be through the school of hard knocks, but we live our lives and we're the ones that make the choice. Am I going to live by this natural world? Which actually, the little g god of this world is Satan. Or are we going to live it by what God's Word says? His Word is living today. His Word, meaning Scripture, as well as His spoken Word that He speaks to us through intimacy when we spend time with Him, is powerful. And it has the same power when He originally spoke it. Jesus has been called the Word of God also. If you want to think about it as He has a library of every word that's ever been spoken by the Father. He is full of the Word. He is the Word. And so He's told us, He says, you, being a born-again person, you become my brothers. I'm not ashamed to call you my brothers because God has adopted you into His kingdom, into His family. We become joint heirs with Christ of everything that Jesus has inherited from the Father. That right there is just hard to get your mind wrapped around. That because whenever we made Jesus Christ our Savior, received Him as Savior, we became in our spirit man just like Jesus. In fact, when the Father looks at us, He sees us just as He sees Jesus. The exact same way. I know we tend to think about things in earthly terms, and we think about, you know, our mistakes a lot. At least I used to. But I found that a lot of people dwell on the things in the natural much more than what the Word says. But where is this life of abundance that Jesus talked about, how is it achieved in this world today? Now, one phrase that has caught my attention in the Scripture, fighting the good fight of faith. Do you know that Jesus has already won every battle on our behalf? He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in Him. And so, how is this fight that we talk about, fight the good fight of faith? It means that we operate not according to the world and how it says we're supposed to live our lives, but according to how God's word has said that we will have good success, that we will have victory. So really, when you look at it, in Christ Jesus, we already have the victory. So we fight from victory rather than for victory. Amen. We've already won because Christ has won all the battles for us. Anybody ever played King on the Mountain? You get up on top of a mound and people try to come up and you're always pushing down and things like that. And so you're king of the mountain. He has the high ground. And he's saying, you're one with me. I'm in you and you in me. We've become one. Inseparable. Because of what Jesus did. And we enjoy his victory over death, hell, grave, sickness, sin, all of that has been placed under our feet. We have the high ground. We have the victory. So if you look at what it says about how we become born again, it's over in Romans 10. And I want you to notice a few things that it has to say. In verse 6 it says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, and I'm emphasizing that, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So the same way that God created everything by speaking it into existence, he believed in his heart and he confessed with his mouth, and it was so. And whenever we speak his words, the power to take us from where we were as sinners to become his child, part of his family, adopted by Almighty God because of the work that Jesus Christ, his Son, did on our behalf. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Righteous. We're as righteous and holy today as Jesus Christ is. And of course, your mind goes out, well, that's saying you're equal to God. In your spirit, you are. We're three-part beings, spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit man is what got born again and became just like God. What about the body and the soul? Well, we're going to get into that a little bit. One of the most important things I think people need to understand, and I'm coming at this from a discipleship standpoint, Jesus had disciples. And sometimes the people that consider themselves disciples, some of the things that he had to say, particularly eat my flesh and drink my blood, they interpreted that in a carnal way, in the natural way, as cannibalism, and they didn't follow him anymore. There is a better way to live the Christian life than through our carnal minds, trying to understand things like we do a textbook. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start at verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart. There it is again, a heart of men, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Notice the next word. But. I've heard people stop right there, not go on. But the next sentence is very important. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So if you read back in the book of Acts, whenever Jesus was getting ready to ascend to heaven, go back to the Father, why did he say that he had to go back to the Father? He went back to the Father so that the Father would send his Holy Spirit to be with each one of us in intimacy, to inhabit us. And a lot of people think, well, he's already in my spirit. I got born again, so I've got everything. Did you realize that the ministry of Jesus was not only to get people born again, but his ministry is to baptize people with the Holy Spirit? Why do we need to be filled? That's another word for baptized. Filled with the Holy Spirit. The part of us that is like God, made like God, is our spirit man. But he says, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And it starts in the hometown and goes through the county or region, and then it goes into all the world. We'll be witnesses where we go. And what are we witnesses to? God's goodness to us in Christ Jesus. So it's very important that we have not just our spirit man inhabited, but our soul be renewed, and our bodies to have power to operate in health. Whenever you think about it, he's got us covered. It's his power that gives us the ability to do anything. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's how we're supposed to operate. Both spirit, soul, and body. We're going to be going to Mark 4 next. And many of you already know the story of the parable of the sower sows the word. And I'll be honest with you, I thought I understood it. But did I ask the Holy Spirit, what is the real meaning behind this? What do I need to glean from this? Why is this such an important parable that Jesus would say, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of the parables? There's interpretation that has to go with all the parables, that we don't look at them from our carnal minds only and say, well, that just doesn't make sense. It's because they're only using their natural mind, their intellect. But just as we read in 1 Corinthians about the Spirit has been given to us to reveal to us the mysteries of the kingdom, that we have an advantage because we can see things through God's eyes. We can hear things. Just like Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. He was in tune. 24/7, 365 with the Father. Did you know that He has provided for us the same way today? It's available to us. Yes. Over in John 15, on abiding, that's what that verse actually talks about, abiding in Christ. We abide in the fullness of God, spirit, soul, and body. Hey, let's go to Mark chapter 4, in verse 13. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So he's saying this is the key to understanding all the parables right here in what he's about to explain. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Very important word. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness. And they, having no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time, afterward when tribulation or persecution rises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. This next one is very important. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Why does a farmer sow seed, or plant seed, is what most of the farmers today do, unlike what they did back then, they would just sow it out on the ground. You plant seed in order to have a harvest. The Word is planted in us to produce a harvest. Now, the harvest can mean a lot of different things. But one of the things we harvest is a life of victory, of glorifying our Father, bringing glory to Jesus, that He's the one who gave us the opportunity, and operating by the power of the Holy Spirit to do the same things that Jesus did, only greater things than these shall you do, is what He said. Boy, that's a mouthful right there. How can that be? How do you interpret what He says here about the sower sowing the Word? First off, it's sown where? Into the hearts. Our belief system. Because we believe in our heart. I'd like you to go to Romans 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So He's saying that your spirit has been reborn, but you need to transfer that by the power of the Holy Spirit, who's our teacher, over into your soul, and it be transformed and match with your spirit man in the belief system that you already have received in your spirit. And then you'll have good success. So the seed needs to be sown into people's hearts. But it says that those that were sown on good ground brought forth fruit, some 30, 60, and 100 fold, depending upon the ground. How do we prepare our hearts to receive? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. That means to guard it, to protect it. Be careful what you place into your eye gate and your ear gate, what you look at, what you see, what you read, and your ear gate, what you hear. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you follow. They are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So our life, if we want the abundant life, it all goes back to what is being sown into our heart. And the condition of our heart depends upon the yield of fruit that comes from it, whether we'll have the mediocre life or whether we'll have the abundant life. One of the things that I believe that the Word tells us is that we need to value, place a value on the Word of God. The spiritual life is how everything was created. The Word created everything. So he's saying that if you value the Word above what you're experiencing, what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what symptoms may be going on in your body, or what the doctor said, because you know they're experts in their field, or philosophers, they know all about it because they've studied it. But I can say this as a truth. There's only one truth. And that's God's truth. And that's God's Word. If you value His Word above anything else, you'll receive the benefit of His power being released. And it will produce what it was sent to do originally. But we need to believe in our heart and then confess with our mouth. That means agree with what His Word says and speak it out of our mouth to release the power that's in that Word. So today, to live the abundant life, we need to be intimate continually with Jesus. To hear His words. To ask Him questions. What do you think about this? How should I approach this situation? What's my next step? Why do you think Jesus got up early in the morning and went out to a secluded space and spent time with the Father? He got away from distractions. He quieted his soul. He quieted it. And we can do that same thing today. We can quiet our soul. Hush, soul, in Jesus' name. Be quiet. Because it's going to yak, yak, yak. These thoughts are going to come to you whenever you have your quiet time with the Lord. They're going to try to interfere. And some of it is demonic. But the other is that we are so used to being in this natural world and thinking like the natural people of the world think that we have some interference there. But we've been given dominion. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. The same thing with these interfering thoughts. You can have that intimate time. Now, I'm talking from some experience, but I can assure you that I'm learning just like everyone else of how to keep my soul in check and hear from God in every situation I'm in. And Jesus did not just have conversation with Father only in the mornings. He was in tune with the Father's direction every moment of every day. But he set that example saying, start off your day spending time with me. And then you will have good success. And you continue throughout the day. Don't rely on your natural mind. Don't rely on your intellect. Rely upon me. Trust in me. Because I love you. And I only want good for your life and your family. No one on this earth can love us like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which are one, love us. They want the best for us. And it's been given to us on a platter. He's saying, come and eat at my table. In front of your enemies. That means here on this earth. And celebrate the victory. And you can actually rub the devil's nose in it. Because we do have the victory. And we can walk in that power. He's given us that ability. And how does it occur? It goes back to our heart. In the parable of the sower, it's good ground. The condition of the heart. Have you conditioned it to be in tune with the Father? In tune with the Son? In tune with the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth? Are you walking in truth today? Has your soul, mind, will, emotions, personality been transformed? And I can't say that I've arrived, but like Andrew Wong says, at least I've left. And there's been progress. And I look forward to more progress every day. So, we have been given everything we'll ever need to succeed in this life. And we're already succeeding in the life to come because we are there in Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father now, in spirit. But our bodies are still here on this earth, and we're occupying this space here on this earth, but we're here for a reason. And I'm going to question you. Do you know what that reason is? We're supposed to be producing fruit. Bearing fruit that brings glory to the Father and Jesus. And it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that that's done. Because He gave us His gifts and His power to operate signs, wonders, and miracles. To win victories for others in this life. To cast out demons. To heal the sick. Each one of us, each person in the body of Christ has that ability. It's just a matter of what is the condition of your heart? Are you believing truth? And are you receiving the word? Because you value it above what you're experiencing in your emotions or in your circumstances. And trust me, I'm talking to myself too. Because we're all tempted. We all have situations come against us. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, is what Jesus said. We already have that victory. So we can walk victoriously even through the valley of the shadow of death. And I have. And many of you have. And as Pastor Henry has already taught, we can stay here on this earth as long as we want to. And I believe that each one of us has a mission that we've been assigned. And whenever we're satisfied, we can go on to glory. But we can choose to stay here. I know some people might think I'm crazy. I don't care. The Lord is so good. And the more I get revelation of who Jesus really is, the more I see that the things that I thought were impossible before are actually mine. They've been given to me. Everything that I'll ever need has already been given to me. I lack nothing. And you lack nothing. We're complete in Christ Jesus to do every good work that He's assigned for us to do. Because it's Him flowing through us in His power and His authority to complete those tasks. But you have your spheres of influence. You have your assignments. But know, in anywhere you go, He's with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You've been equipped. So I pray that as you go, you'll be sowers of the word also. And you will help others to equip them, their hearts, to be good ground, so that they too will have fruit-bearing lives that will glorify the Father and Jesus Christ.